ladder towards you.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, Pastor of Merritt Assembly of God, right here on WMIE, and you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. On your mark, get set, go. It is time to kick into the final leg and finish out 2016 with a marathon runner's sprint to the finish. We are now into the month of November. That means that there are just 61 days left in this year, and it means that there is only 55 days until Christmas. And so now would be a good time to start working on those Christmas photographs and getting those packages for out-of-town folks and shopping done so you can get to start work on. Aren't you thankful that I brought that up to you? It is also just 7 days until the election, and so we want to encourage you to be praying this coming Sunday night at Merritt Assembly of God. We will be having our prayer meeting there. We also want to invite you out to family night tomorrow night at Merritt Assembly of God, where we have boys' classes, girls' classes, and adult classes going on. The boys' and girls' classes start at 6:30. We are resuming our study in Psalm 91. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. So now you know everything that is going on there this week. This coming Sunday night, we will be having special prayer, having prayer on Thursday morning, and praying that God would establish a leader in righteousness here in America once again. So I don't know about you, but about this time of the year, I start also getting very thankful that in 8 or 9 days, because sometimes those political commercials carry over, in 8 or 9 days, there will not be any more survey phone calls. There will not be any more television commercials or radio commercials, and people can stop trying to lie to us. Anyway, yes, I did say that. Anyway, turn in your scriptures this morning to Isaiah, the 48th chapter, Isaiah the 48th chapter, verse number 12. Isaiah 48, chapter 12, or verse number 12, where it says this: Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who teaches you by the way you should go. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants also would have been like the sand, and the offspring of your body like the grains of sand. His name would not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Go forth from Babylon, free from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing. Declare, proclaim this, utter it to the end of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob, and they did not thirst when he led them through the desert. He caused the waters to flow from the rock for them. He also split the rock, and the water gushed out. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Now, last week, I had shared with you out of Isaiah chapter 47, verse number 10. I believe it was on Friday. Could be mistaken on that. If it wasn't Friday, it was Thursday. I think it was Thursday. But I shared with you on that date, for you have trusted in your wickedness. And we're going to talk about some of the ramifications from that today. But this is a word that God sent through Isaiah. And he says, I'm the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you. You know, I've often said that mine is one of those jobs in America where everybody is an expert at what I do. Even if they've never read the Bible, they believe that they know everything that God wants them to do. I want you to know I'm not even an expert at what I do yet. You see, God is a teacher. And just like when I went to school, there were all sorts of kids in different classes, and I was able to relate to a large group of the population in my high school. You see, I was the type of kid that when I was in youth group at church, there wasn't a lot of kids that were the exact same age that I was. Most of them were older, and there were some that were younger. And when I started at 13 years of age going into youth group, I was hanging out with people who were 17 and 18. I was hanging out with people who were 15 and 16. It wasn't a large church at that point in time. Wasn't small, but it wasn't large. Our youth group ran, 15 or 20 people. But I hung out with people who were older than I was, so it affected my behavior. I didn't do a lot of stupid stuff or immature stuff that other kids my age were doing. I was hanging around people who had a little bit more wisdom and a little bit more self-control. And so I was able to relate to them. When I went to high school, for some reason, they put me in a class. The class was trigonometry and analytics. It was an 11th grade class. The problem with that was that I hadn't had geometry yet. Geometry was a prerequisite for trigonometry and analytics, but I had such a great teacher. Her name was Mrs. Daniels, and I had classes with kids my own age, and then I had classes with kids that were a year older than I was. And I managed to get straight A's in that class, and I absolutely loved it. And I remember her saying, if you were to take geometry in summer school, you could really go far in the field of mathematics. And she was a great encourager to me. I just didn't have any interest in summer school at that point in time. And then the next year, I couldn't go on to the next level class because I still hadn't had geometry yet. And I want you to know, I made an A in geometry, and I had the professor that I had, I could still tell you his name, but I won't. He actually wrote our textbook, but his teaching style was completely different than that of Mrs. Daniels. I'm sure that if you're listening to this, you've probably got some teachers that were your favorite teachers and some teachers that were not so much your favorite teachers. And it wasn't that they were bad teachers. It was just that they came at it from a different approach. You see, some teachers are of the mindset that it is just communicating information, that as long as they are doing their job in saying the right words and drawing the right diagrams, that the responsibility rests upon you to grasp the concept. There is also another mindset that says this: I haven't successfully taught you until you have grabbed hold of it. There's a book out there, and I've never read the entire book, but I have read the first chapter, and it's called The Seven Laws of the Learner. I believe the man's name that wrote the book is named Bruce Wilkinson, who wrote the Prayer of Jabez and some other things like that. And he described how he had two teachers, and he gave them both the same test, and that was he went into their class, and instead of learning that day, he just appeared to be very distracted. And the first class that he went to, the teacher just continued right on. If you're going to be distracted in my class, you're going to be distracted in my class. And at the end of the class, they went out. The guy had heard everything he had said, but not one time did the teacher try and engage him and try to bring him back to rapt attention, because the teacher's not there just for the paycheck, or that particular one may have been, but you're there for a purpose, and that is to teach students this principle of whatever it is the lesson involves that day. So he went to his next class, and that was his favorite professor, and he just completely ignored what the professor was saying. And about 3 minutes into the lesson, finally the teacher was so flustered that somebody wasn't paying attention to him that he called this student out, and he said, "Could you please tell me what is it outside that window? is so important that you are depriving yourself of hearing this valuable information. And he said, oh, I apologize. I'm sorry. And he was right back. You see, he said, that's the difference between a teacher and a lecturer. Too many times people come to church as if we are going to a lecture. I find it interesting that in spite of the fact that the world thinks that people are emotionally unhinged and weakened, that they have to go to church on Sunday, that now there are churches for atheists where they go and they sit there. I don't know if they sing atheist songs or not. How great is no one, how great is, I don't know if they sing those sorts of things or not, but they go and they basically have somebody tell them jokes, and they're getting up and they're going through all of the motions of Christians without the benefit of it. You see, people go to conferences and people stand up and talk, and if you get up and walk out of that conference and you haven't learned the information and learned how to apply it, you have wasted your time. I'm going through all of this to let you know that God desires to be able to teach us. He wants us to teach us the way that He thinks. He wants to teach us the way that He loves. He wants to teach us His Word. He wants to teach us the ways He operates. He wants to teach us the things to come and teach us to war, how to do spiritual warfare. He wants to teach us how to study His Word. He wants to teach us how to love people. All of those things. And God says, I'm the Lord your God, I want to teach you. Now, it's also another interesting thing here. He says, who teaches you to profit? To profit. Jesus said to the church, it is advantageous for you that I go back to my Father, because if I don't ascend to my Father, then the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will not come. So last week, as we were in our Holy Spirit emphasis, it was advantageous for us that Jesus was at the right hand of the Father and that the Holy Spirit had been sent to point people to Jesus, to lead them to faith, to guide them into all truth, to empower them to be witnesses, to fill them with the supernatural gifts of Almighty God so that we could be successful in whatever we do. See, God, when He teaches us something, it is beneficial for us. He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. A lot of times people have the mindset that serving God is all about Him taking things from us. I want you to know that it is all about God instilling things in us that are for our benefit. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and forget not all His benefits. I scratch my head many times, not at people who are excelling in their walk with God, but people who are struggling and they're trying to hold on to the world and trying to hold on to God at the same point in time. And I see them, the stress that is going on in their bodies because they haven't yet learned that letting go of things that are worthless enables you to grab hold of things that are priceless. Things that are going to be profitable to you. There's a lot of discussion about income inequality and wealth distribution. Well, there was a study a long time ago that said this: if you were to take all of the money that there was and divide it equally among everybody on the planet, that within 5 years of time, all of the money would have migrated back to the people that it came from originally. Do you know why? Because they have knowledge on how to be productive. They have a work ethic that enables them to excel where other people do not excel. You see, we need God to teach us. I need God to teach me how to reach Brevard County better than what I have in 24 years, almost 24 years. You need God to teach you. And so I've told you this story before. When my wife, when she was offered the position that she has with the company she was working with, she got injured on the job. And so she was in the office temporary. The guy saw how hard she worked. And he said, you are going to be excellent at this position. She went to that position and she said, God, I need you to teach me how to do my job because I don't want to be a bad witness to you. God wants to teach you and I how to profit, who leads you by the way that you should go. There's a passage that says, you know, the voice of the Lord saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. I've told you this before, but I've had people who say, you know, whenever I read about the commands in God, there's a part inside of me that just wants to rise up and not do it because it is an imperative. And I want you to know that God wants to bring you and I to a place that when he says this is something you need to do, this is something you should do, it's something you have to do, that we don't say, I don't want to, and I'm going to fight you tooth and toenail until I get it accomplished. Instead, we need to be saying, God, yes, I will do that. We need to recognize that what God tells us to do, and when he says, this is the way, walk in it, that's the way that we go, because we know he's not going to lead us for our failure. He is going to lead us for our profit. With that being said, I will tell you this. There is only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. That's not me. That's Jesus. If you have a problem with that, you've got a problem with Jesus. And the scripture says, if you've got a problem with Jesus, you've got a problem with the Father. If you've got a problem with the Father, you need to understand that heaven is the Father's house. Why would you want to live in someone else's house that you don't like, you can't stand, and you don't want to have anything to do with? Just a thought. Here's God's heart. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. You want to know some of the benefits to following and listening to the commands of God and walking in those? It says, then your peace would have been like a river. Do you realize that when you tell the truth, you don't ever have to worry if somebody hacks your emails? If you tell the truth, you don't have to worry if there's an audio tape that someone has, or if there's videotape that shows you saying exactly the opposite thing. If you are the same person day in and day out, public and private, if you continue to live your life in wisdom, then you have tremendous peace. And I want you to know that the peace of God is not just an emotional tranquility. It's not just sitting there and letting Calgon take your troubles away. For those of you who are old enough to remember Calgon bath beads or whatever they were called. Instead, it is a peace that is a wholeness in spirit, in soul, in mind, in emotions, in relationships, in finances, in health. It is wholeness at your job. It's that type of peace. And so it is of such importance that shalom, peace, is the greeting of God's covenant people. It is their prayer, if you will. Shalom, peace, and wholeness in every aspect of your life. And that sort of peace only comes from God when we are walking in obedience to his commands. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And he says, I give you my peace, not like the peace the world gives. The peace that the world gives is ignorance is bliss. If you don't know anything, then everything is hunky-dory. And meantime, they could be lying to you through their teeth. But, oh well, as long as, you know, that was the thing that we used to accuse other countries of doing, that they were propagandizing their own people. And now, in our own country, it takes place. There is a peace that comes from God that says this, I don't know what tomorrow is bringing, but I know who holds that day. I know who holds tomorrow, and I trust him that he's going to walk with me every step of the way, that he's got my back, he's got my front, he's got my finances, he's got my health, he's got my strength, all of that he has inside of our relationship. So you have tremendous peace. Now, I will tell you this, where there is peace that comes for the obedient to the commands of God, verse number 22 says, There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked, for the people who are disobeying. Okay? That means that even if you've got by with something, there's still no peace because you think that you could get caught at any time. You know, it amazes me that there are people, and with all of our technology that is in existence now, that people have still been able to be on the lam, you know, having escaped from prison or jumped bail or whatever, and they've been able to exist for decades, and now they are catching them. And you know what? There are people that, even though they haven't been caught, they're still living with that reality. Tomorrow could be the day where reality comes back to bite me. You know, on the other hand, I will tell you this. There are people that I've read stories about who had committed crimes with which they had completely gotten by with. There was no evidence. The police said the person who did this crime was not even on our radar. There was no reason for us to ever suspect that they had done this crime. But in the meantime, God had gotten hold of their heart, convicted them, and sometimes of very, very bad crimes. And they came forward and they said, "It's time for me to confess. I did this." They said, "Why would you do that?" They said, "Because Jesus forgave me of my sins, and it is time for me to deal with the consequences of my actions. This action brings me peace." So if I were to ask you right now, you know, what is your peace level like? Is there an absence of peace because there are things going on in your life? Maybe your parents don't know about it. Your wife doesn't know about it. I would hate to be a person who was cheating on their spouse and wondering every day if somebody was going to find out about it, because it's all going to come out at some point in time. Peace is not the only benefit. And he said, "In your righteousness, like the waves of the sea." Let me move on, because we've talked about righteousness before. I want to talk about one more benefit, and that is in verse number 19. "Your descendants also would have been like the sand, and the offspring of your body like the grains of sand." That's verses 18 and 19. Let me read them to you together again so that you get the context. I'll throw in verse 17 as well. "Thus says the Lord your God," or the Lord your Redeemer, "the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. If you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants also would have been like the sand and the offspring of your body like the grains of sand." What I wanted to point out there to you is obeying the commands of God will produce benefit, not just for you, but it will produce benefit for your kids, for your grandkids, for your marriage. You know, right now in America, we are trying to redefine biblical terms to suit ungodly processes. I can't promise you that you're going to have peace like a river. I can't promise you that it's not going to have a negative effect upon your... I can't promise you it's going to have a positive effect on your kids. I tell parents, I said, "You know, I wish that I could promise you with 100% accuracy that, you know, doing all of the right things as a parent is going to cause your child not to experience any of the temptation or even give in to the temptations. I wish I could promise you that they won't stumble and they won't fall." I said, "I can pray with you for that. I can believe with you for that, but I cannot guarantee, because God created them with a free will, a free choice to be able to make those decisions. I said, but what I can guarantee you is this. If you as a parent do not walk in the commands of God, that your kids will grow up not knowing the peace of God, but knowing fear and anxiety and worry. They will have inordinate priorities and inordinate affections. They will be ensnared. I can have a greater degree of certainty that your kids are going to suffer the consequences of your disobedience. I can almost guarantee that. So which decision would you make today? Would you choose to embrace your behavior and be deprived of peace? Or would you choose to walk in obedience to the commands of God that will cause peace to flood every ounce of your being? And it will be a walking billboard, if you will, that is going to cause you to be more fruitful than you've ever dreamed possible. That's the type of life that I would lead. That's how the type of life I want to lead. So as we're beginning this, these last 2 months of 2016, why don't we go to school? Why don't we go to school with God as our teacher and say, God, would you teach me how to be profitable? Would you teach me how to be a profitable employee? Would you teach me how to be a profitable adult? Would you teach me to be profitable at church? Would you teach me to be profitable in my family? Would you teach me to be profitable in my finances? Would you teach me the ability to produce wealth? God, I need you to teach me your ways. Not the ways of the world, the ways of God. Teach me your ways. And I can tell you that when I learn something new with God, I never look back at the old way and say, you know, that way was more profitable than the way that God told me. My wife and I, we are givers. We are givers. And sometimes the devil will try and come in and say, you know, if you didn't give so much, look at what else you could gain. But I tell you, when you have given and you see a life transformed, you say, you know what? Doing life God's way is the best way. God, teach us to profit. Teach us to walk in obedience. And may peace like a river be the reality for everyone listening. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.